Christians who know that all, not some, all, not most, unity in ministry is based on the finished work of Christ, will glorify Christ by unifying themselves.
Welcome to Treasure Truth with Pastor and author James Ford Jr., Senior Pastor of Christ Bible Church in Chicago. I'm Steve Hiller. Glad you've joined us today as we're beginning a new message, Teamwork Makes the Dream Work. And Pastor, you bring out an important point as we get started today. We really do need to have a united, unified body of Christ, don't we?
Oh, we most definitely do. And here is the rub for me. Because Ephesians chapter 2 says, beginning around verse 18, and he is our peace, talking about our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath broken down the middle wall of partition that separated us. He already provided the spiritual unity that we need. We are one in Christ. It does not matter who you are, where you're from. It amazes me that we're proud of four things of which we have no control, of which we had nothing to do. Proud of race, proud of face, proud of place, and proud of grace. We had nothing to do with either of those. And so that unity that he's given, he says there's no more male or female, no more bond or free, no more Jew or Gentile. We're all one in Christ. We are one body in Christ. And so, man, that's, if we ever came together, boy, we would be a force to be reckoned with. It's kind of like the old Peanuts cartoon.
With Charlie Brown?
Charlie Brown, where in the first frame, he's watching TV, and Linus is watching TV, and Lucy comes in. That's his sister. Lucy comes in and turns the channel. And he says, what gives you the right to do that? And she balls up her fist and she says, individually, these fingers can do nothing, but collectively. And she balled it up into a fist and said, they are a mighty force. And then in the last frame, Linus, she's watching TV, what she wanted to watch.
Yeah.
Linus got his blanket in another room and he looks at his hands and he says to his fingers, why can't you guys come together like that? You know, and I say, I look at it all the time, Steve. I look at the gay agenda and how they come together, political entities, how they come together. Why is it that everybody can come together, even thieves come together?
Mm-hmm.
And this is what really amazed me, that when you look in the Bible, in Mark 5, for example, the demon-possessed man, he had legion. Now, as I understand, the legion is 6,000 Roman soldiers. So he said, we are legion. And it's really amazing. One spoke for all.
Yeah.
That, have you ever read in Scripture where demons fight demons?
No.
I haven't either.
In fact, Jesus says that happens, that they're going down.
I'm telling you. Yeah. But I have plenty of times seen where Christians fight Christians in the Bible. Do you mean to tell me we as Christians don't have as much common sense as demons?
Well, that's a convicting thought to start today's program. So with that, let's open our Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and begin our message. Here's Pastor Ford.
You may have heard about the pastor who was wrung out, was tired. He's kind of like I am, you know. He's tired of hearing God's sheep say, that's right, pastor, pastor. Yeah, and so he decided he was going to take a vacation, and he went to a place that was touted as a religious vacation spot for pastors. So he went there, and sure enough, it was a pastor's haven. I mean, chicken everywhere and plates, and, you know, I mean, you could pick up a piece of chicken anywhere you wanted to, you know, and, you know, offering plates all around to make him feel comfortable. And so he decided that he was going to go horseback riding. And so they gave him the instructions. They said, listen, you need to understand, if you're going to ride these horses, they're religious. So they don't respond to giddy up and woe. If you want them to go, you got to say amen. And if you want them to stop, you got to say praise the Lord. So he gets on the horse. He's like, you know, oh, man, this is great. He says, amen. Horse starts galloping. It gets good to him. He's looking at God's country, all the blue sky and the flowers and the trees, and he gets excited and he says, amen. Horse gallops a little faster. Then he just lets it out. He says, amen. And the horse just takes off at a full gallop. Well, he looks ahead about 100 feet and he sees there's this canyon, about 1,000-foot drop. And so he kind of loses it and he forgets and he says, whoa, whoa, whoa. But the horse doesn't respond to that. Finally, he gets to the edge of the precipice. He remembers. He says, praise the Lord. The horse stops. He looked over. He said, man, God bless you. Amen. Now that happens to us, doesn't it? Because many of us in the Church of Jesus Christ is just like that preacher. We get so involved in doing the work of the Lord that we forget what is the basis of the work. That is, here's what the Bible says. The Bible says all things are by him and for him and in him. Get this. Let me just bottom line it because I ain't going to keep you long. But when you look at it, he says all things are by him. He's the planner and the performer of it. That is that Christ brought everything into existence. But then don't forget that it's by him, it's for him. So the planner and the performer, but he is the purpose. No, he didn't have a purpose. He is the purpose. Ultimately, everything is for him and everything ought to glorify him. So that Christ is the consummation of what this is all about. Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, who died, was buried, and rose. It's my Father's world. Then it says, everything is in him. That is, the power to sustain everything comes from him. So it's all about him. Have you ever wondered why we want the back of the church, the front of the bus, the middle of the road, and the center of attention? Because we fail. Come on, young people, help me. I ain't said it in a long time. We fail to realize who Jesus is. Who is he? He is big baller, shot caller, number one stunner, player from the Himalayas. Jesus Christ. It's all about him. And so I know when we're in the church and we're his body. So he's the head. So we get our direction and our instructions from him. That's why we're called Christ Bible Church. Because Bible is our middle name. That whenever I open this book, God opens his mouth. When I close this book, God closes his mouth. The Bible is not what God has said. The Bible is what God is saying. I am so glad I said ad infinitum, ad nauseum. I am so glad that the Bible does not have an expiration date. It never goes out of style. It's always in fashion. For example, it says, beat your child. You will not kill him. He didn't say abuse. He said, put the Board of Education to the seat of learning. That's what he said. Yeah, and we need to tell some of them out there, buy a belt or get one used on you. Pull them pants up. And so what's going on? Come on now, come on. I've been in church ministry for 30 years, and I can tell you, if I had a nickel for every time I was ready just to walk up out of here, I'd be a rich man, never have to do anything for the rest of my life. And those of you who are working in ministry, you know it ain't no picnic. I know what I said. I know it was improper English. Well, it ain't in the dictionary now, so I can say it with impunity now, except for my wife is looking at me and told me the last message she listened to on Moody, I said, ain't too many times. As a matter of fact, it was funny because I said, I don't sound like I have a master's. She said, you got a master's? That ain't right. And so, I must pontificate with ardent oratorical skill so that I'll be able to relate to your physiological and psychological comprehension. So what's my point? We all know it. We're moving along very well. Things are going well. Then all of a sudden, the bottom drops out. The bottom drops out, and we wonder, wait a minute, what's going on here? What's happening here? I mean, I love singing in the choir. It's just those other choir members I don't like dealing with. You know, some of them are just, oh, you say you know? And so things would go very well if every committee just had one person on it. Anybody agree with me? And if you were on that committee and you got to make all the decisions, right? If you didn't have to, man, how beautiful the church would be if it wasn't for all the people. And you say, well, what's going on, Pastor? See, we got to realize some things. And I think when we look at this text in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, I'm not going to push a whole lot of them, but I want you to understand something, because here's his thesis. Here's his thesis in chapter 3. Christians who know that all unity in ministry is based on the finished work of Christ will glorify Christ by unifying themselves. Let me say it again. Christians who know that all, not some, all, not most, unity in ministry is based on the finished work of Christ will glorify Christ by unifying themselves. That we will understand what is at stake when we are not unified. It is more than just the dissolution of a ministry or a member going to another church or, you know, it's more than that. And we need to understand this concept so that if we're armed with that mindset, we'll think the way God wants us to think about the things that God has us doing together.
Well, what a way to begin this message and this teaching on teamwork makes the dream work. If you want to make sure that you don't miss any of Pastor Ford's teaching in the short series, you can always come to our website and sign up to begin podcasting the program. Our website address is treasuredtruthradio.org. By the way, when you're there, you can also just go back and listen to any teaching that you may have missed. Again, treasuredtruthradio.org. Back to the message. Here's Pastor Ford.
Now, you can use these in marriage if you want to, because they're applicable in any relationship, but there are five concepts I want to share. And there are five concepts that Christians who know that all unity is based on Christ will understand. And let me walk through them. Because what you have is this. Let me tell you the background. The background is this. There were problems at Corinth, and we know that the one word theme is immaturity or carnality. And these individuals, in verse 12, Paul addresses their disunity. And here's what they said. One was saying, I am of Paul. Another one said, well, I follow Apollos. One said, well, I like Peter. Another one said, I follow Christ. And context dictates that's what was happening. Say, what's going on here, Pastor? Let me tell you what they were saying. There were some individuals, they had divided the church along personalities, along their preferences, rather than along the lines of who Christ is. So here's what some were saying. Here's what they were doing. Paul was the theologian. The boy was deep. So he could teach you angelology, bibliology, Christology, demonology, ecclesiology, eschatology, soteriology. He could take you from pre-tribulationalism all the way through the Battle of Armageddon, consummating in the millennial kingdom in a new heaven and a new earth. He could teach you sublapsarianisms, the doctrine of Impecari, and all of the profundities of theological thought. The boy was deep. He was deep. But Apollos, he was a silver-tongued orator. He was able to so arrange his noun, verbs, prepositional phrases, and adverbial clauses in such a way that he would mesmerize people as words cascaded from his lips like honeycomb. And some people say, man, I like deep thought. And we got all these people in here right now because we got folk who are deep. And we got folk who are eloquent. And we got folk that'll tell you in a minute, I'll try to love you into heaven. But if I can't love you into heaven, I'll scare hell out of you. And then you got the super spiritual people, and the context and the tense dictates that they were saying it like this. Well, I don't follow any man. I follow Christ. In other words, that superior pharisaical, I'm above every. You know folk like that? Don't look around. 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 You know folk like that? Act like they got a monopoly on God, that they filled out an application, and now the Trinity is a quartet. You know folk like that? And this is the backdrop. Now in chapter 3, he's going to address what he only mentioned in verse 12 of chapter 1. He said, you know what? I better expand this. Because they need to understand that unity in ministry is not based on their ability or what they're doing or what they're doing for Christ, but it's based on what Christ has already done for them. That the foundation of everything here is Jesus. Where would I be without the Lord Jesus Christ in my life? What would I have if Jesus hadn't brought it for me? Where would I be if he hadn't died on Calvary, took all my sins upon him on that cross? I wouldn't be in the pulpit. I was a pusher. I wouldn't have a Bible in my hand. I would have reefer in my hand. I'm the only one. And so now, what is my service? My service is based on the fact that verse 11 is really the end of it, the foundation, the beginning of it. For no other foundation can be laid other than that which has been laid, Jesus Christ. So I tell you why I work like a Hebrew slave. Remember I told you just a couple weeks ago, some people work like a dog so they can get the bone? Let me tell you why I work. Because I'm grateful. I'm grateful. I'm grateful. I'm grateful that after 3 years of marriage, we getting ready to get a divorce. We celebrated 42 years of marriage. So you know what that means? Our good days outweigh our bad days. I ain't gonna complain. You know, I didn't have a job for 2 years, but I've had a job for 39 years. My good days outweigh my bad days. I won't complain. That's what I'm doing. And that's what we're all doing. And so he says, let me drop these concepts on you. I trust that you'll remember them. No matter where you're serving, what you're doing, I need you to get these five concepts and I need you to get them good. Here it is. Concept number one, verses 1-4. Unity in ministry is consecration, not carnality. Let me say it again. Unity in ministry is consecration, not carnality. Look at what's going on here. Let me read it for you in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1-4. I'm going to read in the King James Version because, as I told you before, that's the version that Jesus translated and passed out to his disciples as they walked two by two along the way. Here's what he says. And I, brethren, now stop right there. I like what he's doing here because there's a problem in the church, and he's an apostle. He has apostolic authority. And you know what that means? He can tell people what to do. But he says, and I, brethren. Now, let me tell you, Delphos, you remember it means from the same womb. What's he saying? You really can't legislate and command people to be unified. You just encourage them to be unified. So he says, I want you to know we're in this together, brethren. I want you to know I have your best interests at heart, brethren. He's saying, listen, hey, look at the person beside you. That's your brother or your sister if they're a Christian. Now, guess what? You mean to tell me you can't stand sitting beside them 2 hours on Sunday when you're going to be living with them for all eternity in heaven? That don't even make sense to me. And so we are brethren. So he sets the foundation. This ain't fussing. This ain't trying to get nobody straight. This ain't trying to point nobody out. This is saying, listen, as we begin to look at each other, let's not forget who we are and what we've been called to do. Amen. So unity, here's what he tells me. He says, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able, for you are yet carnal. For where is there is among you envy and strife and divisions? Are you not carnal and walk as men? Now, let me just bottom line this thing, because here's what he's saying. He's saying, in essence, to them. Now, when did he write 2 Corinthians? Around A.D. 55. So when did he write 1 Corinthians? Around A.D. 50. So you know what that means? In 5 years, he expected them to be mature enough to be able to work together without killing each other. He expected them to have reached a level of maturity where they were on meat and not milk. Now, look at what's going on here, because here's what he says. He says three things. He says, you're like babies in Christ. Now, they weren't babes. He said, you're acting like babies. See, the actions that you expect from new Christians ought to be different from the ones that you get from old Christians. The Bible calls us to childlikeness, not childishness. And there are a lot of us, we are childish. He says, that's flesh. That's not of faith. So how do I know when I'm walking in, I know when I'm walking in the flesh and I ain't walking in the spirit? How do I know that? Because I'm a fruit inspector. So I listen to what I say. Is what I'm saying part of faith or flesh? The three things he says here, they're in order, they're succession. Now listen to what he says. What's among you? First of all, it starts with envying. That's on the inside. It starts on the inside. Then strife. It's permeating, infecting other people. And then he says division. See what happens? It starts internally and it manifests externally. So anytime I see division, the body divided or ministry divided, guess what you have to say? Somebody or all of them are walking in the flesh. They are not walking in the... There is an internal problem that somebody has that they are reacting to.
You're listening to Pastor Ford in a message called Teamwork Makes the Dream Work here on Treasured Truth. And if you miss any part of a broadcast in our series, you can always come to our website and listen online. Simply stop by treasuredtruthradio.org. You can download MP3s, you can stream the program, or order copies on CD. Again, that's at treasuredtruthradio.org. Hey, thanks for listening today. Thanks also to our producer, Amy Rios. For Pastor Ford, I'm Steve Hiller. Treasured Truth is a production of Moody Radio, a ministry of Moody Bible Institute.